Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise. I'm coming at you right now from my parents' house once again. I feel like this is maybe like the third episode that I've recorded in the short time that I've been doing this, that I've been here at my parents' house in Pennsylvania in my childhood bedroom. I just flew here yesterday from San Francisco, so I'm recording this in real time. I'm going to be recording and editing and uploading all of this in one day today, Tuesday. So it's going to be, I usually like to upload my podcasts at midnight, like Eastern time on Tuesday morning, like first thing. But after I explain the past like few days, you'll hopefully see why this is. I mean, it's still going up on Tuesday, so it's fine. But anywho, I'm setting the scene. I flew back home here yesterday from San Francisco. I was in San Francisco for a long weekend this past weekend visiting one of my best friends, Darby. I've never been to San Francisco or the Bay Area or really Northern California at all. I've only been to LA and San Diego, and I've really been wanting to go to San Francisco and the Bay Area forever. So I finally got to go this past weekend, and it was so much fun. I do, however, think that the 3 or so weeks of travel that I've done recently has finally caught up to me because I have come down with a cold. It was time, I guess. I've been on plane after plane after plane after plane, like go, go, go. My body is just run down at this point, I guess. So I do have a bit of a cold. So if I sound a little nasally, congested, any of that, that is why. And that's also why I'm recording this the day that I'm posting it, because I've been trying to let myself like recoup a little bit so I don't sound extremely congested and nasally. But yeah, so that is the situation, setting the scene. My weekend was really nice. So many things. We went to Alcatraz. We went on kind of like a mini wine tour in Napa. We went to 3 different wineries. I saw the Golden Gate Bridge. I went to Sausalito. Like, it was really cool and really fun, and I'm just really happy that I got to go and spend time with Darby and see the Bay Area. So I did make a little vlog this past weekend. That's going to be going up next week. Well, this coming, I guess, week. That's this coming week's video. So if you want to see more of my trip, you should look out for that video because that will be up on my YouTube channel. My God, I keep having to stop to like clear my throat. So that's good. That's that. Now I'm here. I'm in Pennsylvania. And every time I come here and visit my parents' house, which honestly, in and of itself, feels very strange to say. Like, I've grown up in this house. Like, I literally have lived in this house my entire life that I'm sitting in right now. And it feels so weird being a guest in your own house, or your own house that used to be your house that isn't anymore. Like, that whole concept is so weird because I feel like I should just be living here because I did for like 21 years. So every time I'm here, even though I have lived in New York City for over a year and a half now, I still feel that way every time I come back here. It's just weird. It's just, I don't know, it's strange. Being a guest in your own house is strange. But what I was gonna say is every time I'm here, I go on a little Starbucks bender, if you will. Very loose use of the word bender in this situation. But I don't have my coffee machine here, so I can't make my typical at-home lattes that I do in New York. So I literally go to Starbucks every day. Not complaining though, because I get to get my favorite drink every day, and it's such a treat. So that's what I'm drinking today. I have my absolute favorite order that I've probably talked about a gazillion times. If you're listening to this and you're like, Hannah, please shut the fuck up, I totally understand. Like, I get it. It'll be over soon. Just like, bear with me. If you still have not tried this order, you freaking should. This is your freaking sign. It is a venti iced brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso with 2 pumps of cinnamon dolce syrup added. And it is the absolute most chef's kiss order at Starbucks. I will absolutely die on that hill. Oh my God, it's just insanely good. I'm excited to get into today's topic. And I actually didn't even try this, but this kind of does tie in to me being in my childhood home, because I'm going to talk a little bit about childhood and growing up in the context of creativity. I was talking about this topic with my friend Amanda a couple weeks ago, and it just made me think so much about this topic. Like, I guess I've thought about this before, but never as much as I did when I was talking to Amanda about it, because she essentially said the same thing that I was thinking about myself, and I didn't know that other people felt that way. So it just sparked more of an interest in my mind about this topic. And when I have a topic I'm super interested in at the moment and I feel like I want to talk through, of course, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast, because that's really why I made a podcast in the first place, to talk about things like this and just kind of think them through, talk them through. I also love to do research, so I did some research on this topic to see if this is actually a thing. So anyway, I have a lot to talk about in today's episode, so let's get into it. Today I have a question that I would like to pose, and that question is, does growing up kill creativity? This question came about when, as I said, I was talking to Amanda, and we started the conversation by just talking about how we've felt like we've been in creative slumps, and that it's just been harder lately to be creative. And we were talking about how we felt like as kids, we were just so creative, and even not just as kids, but like teenagers and like preteens, we were just talking about how we felt like we were so much more creative than we are now. I have thought that also about myself, and then talking to her about it, I was like, oh my God, other people feel this way. Is this a thing? Like, is this a general trend that happens as you grow older? Like, does growing older naturally kill your creativity? And kill is a really strong word, but like, does your creativity, natural creativity, decline as you grow older? And is that something that everyone goes through? Is that just how it works? I don't know. What I do know is, as a kid, I was so creative. I just had endless ideas, and I had endless motivation to see those ideas through. I was always coming up with stuff. I was always freaking inspired. I was always excited about stuff when I was younger, as like a kid and as a preteen, early teen. And I've noticed, as I was thinking about this, that my creativity levels and my imagination and my motivation and desire to run with a creative idea that I'm having has declined as I've gotten older. I have a few examples of this because I just remember how excited I was and how creative I was as a kid. God, where do I even begin? So first of all, I had an American Girl Doll YouTube channel when I was younger. I remember when I first discovered YouTube. I don't even know how the heck I got to this point, like how I even found these videos, but I got really interested in American Girl dolls when I was a kid. So I guess I was looking up DIYs and stuff for your American Girl doll, which even the fact that I was looking up DIYs and like making things and like how to make things for your American Girl doll at that age, I was so creative and I was so excited about this, and I wanted to learn more and I wanted to make things. I just had a vision and I was running with it. So I discovered American Girl doll YouTube, the American Girl community on YouTube, and I was floored. I was enamored by this. I just got so inspired by the fact that this existed that it inspired me to make my own channel. And I made an entire YouTube channel about and for my American Girl dolls. I would do little like skits and stuff with them, and I would make little shows with them as the characters. I would make DIYs. I made so many DIYs of things for them, like doll sized things. Oh my gosh, I would make like laptops, and I made soda cans. I made like other electronics and stuff, like iPads, iPhones. I just really loved making doll sized things. So I would make DIY videos on how I was making them. I was just so creative with that channel, and I always had ideas. I remember so vividly, I had this little notebook, and I would take it out during school and write down ideas for things I wanted to make and videos I wanted to make for this channel with my dolls. I didn't have to try. Like, I didn't have to be like, all right, I'm sitting down and I'm gonna brainstorm now. I had so many ideas coming to me that I was like, all right, I need to write them all down, because I have so many that are just naturally coming to my mind. And if I don't write all of them down, I'm gonna lose them, but I wanna do every single one of them. And I'm so excited and I have so much energy and I'm so like motivated to do every single one of them as soon as I get home because I'm so excited about them, type of thing. So that's one example of how I was so creative as a kid, just that entire channel. And that channel still is up because I love it. It makes me so happy to go back and watch those videos because it reminds me of where I started and why I started. And the reason that I started is just because I loved it so much and I was so excited. And I had so much creativity. It was almost overflowing out of me. And that was my outlet. So I'm really, I'm not going to say the name of the channel, but if you've, I have a video on my main channel now that I did like reacting to some of my old videos. It was a really long time ago, but if you find that, then you'll probably be able to find the doll channel too. But it's, I just think it's adorable and it makes me so happy. And it's a nice, like, refreshing reminder to me. But aside from just that, I loved doing arts and crafts. I've always been a very crafty DIY person, and that really started when I was a kid. Like, I remember going to the craft store and they always had these fun DIY kits, and those were always what I beelined towards. Like, I always wanted to get more and more of those kits. So I had a kit to make almost like mini Build-A-Bears, but it wasn't Build-A-Bear brand. I don't even know what the brand was, but it was a little like thing, a little mechanism that had fur in it. And then I would get bear, you know, what's it called? The bear without the fur. What? I would get little bears that didn't have fur in them. And then I would use this mechanism to put the fluff in the bear. So I was like making my own little bears, even though I wasn't really making anything. I was just filling them with fluff. But that was one of the kits I had. I had like endless jewelry making kits. Oh my gosh. Like, you name it, I probably had a kit for it. I had a kit to make like buttons. I put different designs on buttons and stuff. I had a scrunchie making kit, like just so many DIY kits. I loved DIY kits. I loved making stuff. And beyond just the kits, Oh my God. I'm remembering all these different things that I made when I was younger. Okay. So these weren't when I was like a kid. I think these were like preteen years at this point. But I got really into making things with clay. So I think that probably might have started with my American Girl dolls. Like, I would make clay, like mini doll size things out of clay. And then that turned into me making like charms and stuff. Oh my God. I just remembered. Stop. I need to do research. Okay. I just went on YouTube and I searched up this user that I remember so vividly being so inspirational to me when I was younger, and it was called Kitsy KK. That was the channel name, and I just went and I looked it up, and they deleted all of their videos. All of them, they're gone. I remember that this girl would, on her channel Kitsy KK, she liked American Girl dolls too, so that's how I found her. But then I think that she also was the one who was doing like making stuff out of clay and making little charms and whatnot out of clay. If I'm wrong, then I'm sorry, but I almost am positive that that's where I got the inspiration for like the making things out of clay, because she would do that. Anyway, so I would get ideas from YouTube, or I would see tutorials on YouTube on how to make like certain charms and whatnot out of clay. So I started making a shit ton of little clay things, and then I would turn them into like jewelry. Like, I would turn them into earrings. I would turn them into keychains. I had an entire little, like, I remember it, plastic. I probably still have it, like, downstairs in my parents' house somewhere. I know no one would have thrown it away because it was so kind of iconic. But I had this little organizer where I would store all of my little clay creations, and I would, like, give them to people. I just loved doing that so much. It was, like, another little creative outlet for me. I had so many hobbies and creative outlets when I was younger. But the clay thing was another one. And then I also used to make little, like, wallets. Oh, my God! I just remembered this. I'm sorry. I keep yelling. If you're using headphones, I'm not even yelling, but this microphone, my little travel mic that I bring when I'm on the go, it's not my normal one that I usually record with. It just, like, picks everything up so loudly. And I tried to, like, do like fuck with it to make it not do that, but I don't really know. Anyway, so before I get into this, I need to address the Capri Sun wallets that I would make. Literally Capri Sun containers, or whatever they even were, the little pouches that you would drink a Capri Sun out of. When I was done with the drink, I would use the pouches and I would make shit out of them. I made wallets specifically. I remember I would either like staple them together into like the wallet shape, or I think I even used my a little sewing machine that I don't even ask me. Wait, do ask me, because I just remembered I'm having so many things hit me right now. This is kind of amazing. I had this little sewing machine that I honestly think I got from like a thrift store when I was younger, and that's what I used sometimes to like make these Capri Sun pouch wallets or coin purses or whatever they even were. Oh my gosh. And then I remember the needle of the sewing machine getting so sticky because it was literally going into like a juice pouch that I had just drank out of. But anyway, I made coin pouch wallet things out of Capri Sun pouches. Like, that, how did I don't even know if I thought of that or if I saw that on YouTube too. YouTube was so freaking influential for me as a young person, and it still is today. That's why I love YouTube so much, is like I literally grew up with it, and I've gotten so much inspiration and creative ideas from YouTube. I don't remember if I got this next idea from there. I'm sure that I did, because how the fuck would I have thought of this myself? But maybe I saw it somewhere, I saw someone doing this. I used to make wallets, full-on wallets, like not even just like the coin purse pouches, full-on wallets with like areas to put cards, like different cards, out of duct tape. This was a freaking amazing and iconic era for me. I was making full-on duct tape wallets. Don't even ask me how. I don't remember, but I do remember I used to go to the craft store and buy a fuck ton of duct tape. Well, in intervals, like I would go and maybe get a couple new colors at a time, because at the time, like, duct tape was like expensive to me. I couldn't buy like every single color I wanted. I would do a couple at a time, and I would make these wallets in different colorways, and like I would use different pattern duct tapes. I remember I had this one that I think was like a hot pink duct tape and a zebra print, because back then when I was like 11, 12, zebra print was all the rage, and like hot pink and neon green and purple, for some reason, all of those things together was like the shit to me. God, I wonder if I have any of these little wallets left. I'm gonna have to go downstairs into our, like, one of our rooms in the house and see if my craft stuff is still there, because I just simply know that it is. Like, it has to be. I just need to find it, and it's gonna make me really happy. But my point is, I was so creative as a kid. I just had so many ideas. I had so many interests. I could really make, oh my God, I keep remembering things. I made Play-Doh too. I'm sure that I saw a YouTube video on that, or I saw something online about how to make Play-Doh. I used to make Play-Doh like from scratch, and I would add different, what even were they? Not maybe essential oils. I don't even know. I would make them different colors. I would make them different smells. And I feel like I remember getting my family and friends to like place orders, if you will, for Play-Doh. I don't even think I charged people. And if I did, it was like no more than a couple of dollars. But I was a little entrepreneur. I wanted to make these things for people. So I, you know, got them to tell me like what color and what scent they wanted for Play-Doh. I got people to tell me if they wanted a duct tape wallet, like what shape they wanted and how many card slots they wanted and what colors of duct tape, like what combinations of different colors they wanted. And I would make them for people because I had already made so many for myself, but I wanted to keep making them. So I wanted to make them for other people. I did that with charms too. I did that with pretty much everything that I made, I think. I also always was starting like little quote unquote businesses when I was younger, or I like wanted to. So the Play-Doh thing, I probably called a business. The duct tape wallets, I probably called a business. I always just wanted to like have a business where I made things. So I probably went through like a few of those when I was younger too. But again, sorry, I got carried away. There's just so much that is coming to my mind right now that I'm remembering, and it's making me so happy. My point is that I was so creative as a kid, and now I'm 23, almost 24. And I feel like I am going through way more creative slumps than I am creative bursts that I had when I was younger. And it made me wonder, does growing up naturally kill your creativity or naturally make it decline? Is there less of it as we get older? Is that a thing? Or is it just me? And it's obviously not just me, because my friend was talking about it as well, that she felt the same way. So I wanted to dive into this question. I brainstormed some ideas of why I think this could be. Why I think that creativity, at least for me, my creativity has declined since I was younger. And it's even hard to just say that because I do feel like there have obviously been times when I've been older that I have had super, super creative ideas and like some of my best ideas, but it just feels like I had way more of them, like at a higher frequency when I was younger. And now as I've gotten older, just like if there was a graph, okay, picture a graph, on the y-axis is my creativity level and the x-axis is age, it's a downward line. Why, like I'm trying to think why that is. So I brainstormed some ideas, and my first one is that when we get older, we have more responsibilities. Obviously, when we're kids, we don't really have any responsibilities because someone else is responsible for us and for making sure that we eat and teaching us how to do everything in life and making sure we go to school. And then when we're at school, like we're the responsibility of the school and of our teachers. Like we don't have really many responsibilities. I mean, if we do, it's like chores and homework and stuff like that. But most things are done mainly by other people, or they're teaching us these things. So we don't actually have to fully do most things completely alone as kids. And then now, as we've gotten older, as I've gotten older, our lives are more in our hands now. We have jobs to do. We have bills to pay. We have more things to be completely responsible for. Whereas, as I said, our parents or other adults were responsible for us as kids. We really didn't have to do much. So we have more responsibilities now and just more things to worry about, I guess. So we don't have the same amount of brain capacity that we did when we were younger that completely could be used for imagination and creative ideas. And we don't have as much time now as we did when we were younger. We do things during the day that we have to do because we're adults. And when we were kids, like we would go to school and stuff, but it just wasn't the same level. We just have more things we have to do now. So then when we're done all the tasks throughout the day that we have to do, we may not have the same energy levels. We definitely don't have the same energy levels that we did as kids to do more things. So we may not be as motivated to do or like follow out our creative ideas as we had when we were younger. Like even after I would go to school when I was younger, I had so much energy and I was like, yay, this is my creative time. But now after I've done all of the like work tasks I have to do for the day, I'm like, okay, I don't want to do fuck all, you know? Also playing a role here, I think, is productivity culture. In this day and age, and just as we've gotten older, we feel like we need to be working towards a goal all the time and should be grinding constantly. We should always be go, go, go. And we should always have something we're doing. We need to be productive all the time. And not saying that that is a true thing. Like productivity culture in and of itself, I think sucks and is toxic. I also think there's a difference between productivity culture and just being productive. But that's the topic for a whole other episode. But productivity culture, I feel like, is the toxic idea that we need to be go, go, go and productive and working towards a goal at all times. And really the downtime is seen as like lazy. That's what I feel like productivity culture is. So I feel like that plays a bit of a role here. Also, when you are kind of sucked up in productivity culture, you may feel like you don't have room for creative time that doesn't benefit you financially or in some other goal-oriented way, because productivity culture, you feel like you need to be working towards a goal all the time and like making the most out of your time, and downtime is not seen as productive. When we were kids, we didn't know what productivity culture was, and we weren't in that. That wasn't a thing. So that wasn't a factor that limited us at all. Another reason that our creativity levels could decline as we get older is because we simply know more. This is something that I actually read in some of my research while I was looking up, you know, why this could be. So this is actually from a study by UC Berkeley psychologists, and it was kind of written up in a New York Times article, like a summary of it, by Allison Gopnik and Tom Griffiths, who are actually two of the researchers who did this study. I'm also going to link all of these things and any future research and resources that I mentioned throughout the rest of this episode down in the show notes if you want to check them out for yourself and read more. But essentially, the researchers were talking about the concept of exploration and exploitation. This is a quote from the article, quote, "When we face a new problem, we adults usually exploit the knowledge about the world we have acquired so far. We try to quickly find a pretty good solution that is close to the solutions we already have. On the other hand, exploration, trying something new, may lead us to a more unusual idea, a less obvious solution, or a new piece of knowledge. But it may also mean that we waste time considering crazy possibilities that will never work, something both preschoolers and teenagers have been known to do." End quote. So essentially, the study compares the creativity or the imagination or the ability to come up with new and unusual ideas between preschoolers, teenagers, and adults. So their study found that adults are more likely to use exploitation, and the kids and teenagers are more likely to use exploration when faced with a certain type of problem where they have to come up with a solution. Adults are more likely to use the knowledge that they've already acquired about the world to form their idea or their solution to the problem, whereas preschoolers and teenagers are more likely to think outside of the box and kind of come up with more imaginative ideas. And that same concept, I feel like, can translate to creativity and having creative ideas as a whole. Creativity in and of itself really is rooted in thinking outside the box and exploring things and having an imagination. And the idea of exploration, exploitation, and the fact that adults are more likely to use exploitation, and we try to get to a solution in the most efficient way. And for us, we naturally just use the knowledge, obviously, that we've already learned. But younger people may be able to come up with more imaginative, out-of-the-box ideas, more creative ideas and solutions for things than adults, because they, first of all, don't know as much. So they don't have as much prior knowledge to fall back on. They have more room to think outside of the box. They also, I don't think, take efficiency into account as much as we adults do. When we're trying to solve a problem and we're trying to come to a solution, we want to do so as quickly as possible so that we can move on to the next thing. But kids, younger people, they don't have the same like fire drill mentality, and they may be able to take some more time to think about things and come up with different ideas, therefore leading to maybe a more creative, imaginative, out-of-the-box solution than adults may. I just thought that was a really interesting explanation. I just love doing research on topics that I'm interested in and just seeing how other people have approached the topic and what they've found from the studies they've done. I thought that was really interesting and I wanted to mention it. Another reason why my creativity, at least this one is a bit more personal, as I've gotten older, my creativity has declined, is because my entire job now is being creative. This goes back to how I talked about the fact that I had an American Girl Doll YouTube channel when I was a kid. I was making videos purely as a creative outlet. It was just for fun. I didn't have a schedule. I just did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And that, I feel like, just gave me so much more room to, first of all, not feel any pressure. There was no pressure involved in this channel. It was very low stakes. It was just for fun, and it was purely just a creative outlet. I didn't hold myself to a schedule like, okay, I have to have a video on this channel up every these days, like of the week. I have to post once or twice a week on these specific days in order to grow. I wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about growth. I wasn't thinking about optimization of my channel. I wasn't thinking about even people who followed me. I didn't give a fuck if anyone even followed me or anyone wanted to watch my videos, because I made them because they made me happy, and I just enjoyed the entire thing, the entire process. And really, I just put them out there so that other people could learn something too and other people could enjoy the process too. But it really was just a creative outlet for me. It wasn't for anyone else. But now I have been able to take posting videos on YouTube and turn it into a literal entire career, which is amazing and insane. And I had no idea that that was even a thing when I was younger and when I had this other channel. I don't actually know if it even was a thing yet at that point because it was so long ago and this industry is very new. Like the content creation, social media, you know, all of that is really new in the grand scheme of things. But with the channel I have now, I have been able to take my original passion for creating videos and turn it into an entire career. Now, I want to make it very clear that this, I'm extremely grateful that this is a possibility. This is a job that is one of, honestly, the best that I could have ever even imagined. I couldn't even imagine it, but now that I have it, like, I know how good I have it. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm like, oh, woe is me, because that's not it at all. This is just talking about in terms of creativity and the conversation that we're having in this podcast episode today. Making videos on YouTube requires a lot of creativity in the entire thing, really. And when I was a kid, like, my topics were like, oh, DIYs and different series and stuff that I would make with my dolls. And also the creativity was in the editing, but I feel like when I was younger, the creativity was less in the editing and it was more in like the actual topic. And then as I've gotten older, it's shifted that the creativity, I feel like, really shines through majority in the editing for me at this point. But I also still want to have creative topics and like do creative things while filming. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just like the balance has shifted a bit, but the creativity is still at the core of making content. And even when you're doing it for a job, creativity is still at the core. But now it's way more high stakes than it was when I was younger. When I was younger, there were no stakes at all. Now it's my entire livelihood. It's my entire source of income. It's how I'm able to do anything, how I'm able to pay for my bills, how I'm able to pay for my rent. Like, it's my legitimate job. And with that comes a lot more pressure to succeed and to continue to grow and to optimize as much as possible and to reach as many people as possible. And you're thinking about engagement now, and you're thinking about retention time, and you're thinking about search optimization and keywords and topics that people would like and what time of the year people would want to watch certain things. And you're thinking about so much more because it's not just about a creative outlet anymore. It's not just for fun. It's also for my entire life. So that has just put a lot more pressure on being creative. And now I have an upload schedule. And the reason I even made an upload schedule in the first place is because the YouTube algorithm likes consistency and people like consistency. But if you post the same time, the same day, every week consistently on YouTube, the algorithm will essentially favor you and they will recommend your videos and your channel more in search and on people's like recommended pages on YouTube and stuff. So a lot of the things that you're doing are optimization for the algorithm. And when I was younger, like, I didn't have a schedule. I didn't have a posting schedule. I just, whenever I had a creative idea, I ran with it and I did it and then I posted it and that was it. But now I know that I need to post something every week. So it's almost like I have to sometimes force myself to come up with an idea or to be creative and brainstorm ideas because I have a deadline. I have more of a sense of urgency, which, as I will talk about in the next point, having a sense of urgency and just having kind of like the stress of an impending deadline naturally hinders creativity. So now I have kind of a deadline for my creativity. So I have to try more to be creative. When I was younger, I didn't have to try at all. It just came to me. But also taking into account that I have more responsibilities now and I know more, and all the other things that I've talked about so far, all of those things are also kind of interfering with my ability to be creative. And now I also have to do it quicker. So that has definitely changed things. And that's something that I could probably talk about for an entire episode in and of itself as well. But again, the fact that this is my job, I don't like want anyone to think that I'm complaining about this at all. I'm really not, but this is just the reality of turning a hobby or something, a passion, something you were just doing for fun, into something you're doing for money. Anyone else who has done that same thing, has started something for fun and then it's turned into something that they financially rely on, will probably tell you, if not the same thing, something very similar. And it's just kind of how it is. It's the harsh reality. And it's obviously up to me to figure it out and to find solutions for that and to make it work. But it is definitely a struggle sometimes. Anyway, but I thought that was a really important thing to mention for me personally, because I know that that has played a huge factor in how I've felt with my creativity levels as I've gotten older and like made this my full-time job. It obviously makes a difference, and I would be naive to not admit that or not recognize that. So the last reason that I have for why growing up could kill creativity is the development of anxiety, stress, and fear. This is a huge one for me. Probably one of the biggest. As I've grown older, I've developed anxiety. And also anxiety disorder. Of course, that has a huge impact in a negative way on a lot of things in my life. And through my research for this episode, I was able to make connections and see that there are connections between anxiety, stress, and fear and creativity levels. So I really feel like this is a huge one for me. And after reading all these things, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And it's not just me being a freaking loser and having no creativity anymore. Like, I truly suffer from anxiety disorder and I struggle with it every day. And that impacts my creativity levels. The first source that I found was from a Forbes article. It included some research from Dr. Wendy Suzuki, who is an NYU neuroscientist. So essentially, Dr. Suzuki talks about the concept of brain plasticity in her research and that was cited in this article. And brain plasticity basically means that what you're experiencing can change your brain. So as I said, as I've gotten older, I've experienced more and all those things have changed my brain. She also said long-term stress and fear can shrink the size of your temporal lobe and increase the size of the amygdala structure that is processing fear information. It also can shrink the size of the hippocampus, which is critical for long-term memory. The hippocampus has been more recently implicated in creativity and imagination because imagination is taking things from your memory and putting them together in a new way. So long-term stress is literally killing the cells in your hippocampus that contribute to the deterioration of your memory, but it's also zapping your creativity. So there's literal parts of your brain that just life experience and anxiety, stress, and fear are physically impacting, which is then physically impacting other parts of your brain that are responsible for your imagination and your creativity, which is so interesting. Like, I didn't know any of this, obviously, because when have I ever looked into like the parts of the brain in this way? I haven't. And then another source that I read when I was looking up anxiety and its impacts on your creativity, I found a Harvard Business Review article by Susan Peppercorn and Maren Gube, and they said, quote, "When precarious circumstances are prolonged and combined with anxiety and fear, the brain's biological response is to hide rather than explore. From an evolutionary point of view, survival ends up taking precedence over creativity, as the stress hormones that ready us for battle also interrupt the networks involved in creativity," end quote. So if you suffer from anxiety disorder, you know that everything feels like fight or flight. My body, my brain at this point cannot discern between things that are genuinely threats and that I should go into fight or flight about, and things that are just threats through the lens of my anxiety. For example, my body will go into fight or flight mode when I need to like leave the house and go to the grocery store. But that's because of my anxiety. That's not because I actually have something legitimately to fear in going to the grocery store. When you introduce anxiety disorder, your brain starts to see different things through the lens of that anxiety disorder, and it distorts the situation and what the reality is. So my brain goes into fight or flight for things that are not just like life-threatening situations. It goes into fight or flight when I have to go into a social situation with somebody new. Like, my anxiety disorder has distorted and has basically fucked up the way that my brain discerns normal situations and life-threatening situations. So since I am literally battling anxiety disorder every single day, and I'm in a constant fight with my own mind, my body and my brain are in fight or flight way more than they should be, or than they would be if I did not have anxiety. So like this quote says, from an evolutionary point of view, survival ends up taking precedence over creativity. When you're literally in fight or flight and you're like in a what your brain and body thinks is a life or death situation, you're not thinking about being creative. You're thinking about surviving. So to sum that up, this is another quote from that same article. Fear is the enemy of creative thinking because it directs neural resources towards neutralizing the perceived threat. End quote. Survival takes precedence over everything. So that naturally inhibits the ability to be creative because your brain is busy trying to survive. When I was a kid, I didn't know all the things that I could be worried about. I didn't know anything really about life. I hadn't experienced that much, and things that I had experienced, I didn't have the brain capacity or the critical thinking skills to like really understand things and to internalize them and pick them apart the way that I am able to now that I'm older and my brain's more developed and I've been through more and I have more critical thinking skills. When I was younger, I just didn't have that. So my brain, I wasn't in fight or flight all the time. My brain and body were not constantly trying to neutralize a perceived threat. My neural resources were able to be directed towards imagination and creativity. So that's like a literal scientific explanation of how my creativity levels have been affected since I've gotten older, because I've developed anxiety as I've gotten older. So it's not just the simple fact of getting older that has kind of killed my creativity a bit. It's all the things that have come with getting older. Like, just the concept of aging isn't the problem. It's all the things that you experience while you're aging. You're learning more. You're gaining more responsibilities and more independence, which, I mean, having independence is a good thing also. Like, it's not like, fuck independence. Like, I love having independence now and being able to do things myself and stuff. But in terms of this conversation, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more responsibilities. I've learned more about the world. I've experienced more things, and I've developed anxiety. And all of those things have really come together and joined forces to deteriorate my creative thinking levels. So now that we've come to that conclusion, I wanted to talk about what we can do to counteract it. For the anxiety-specific conversation and everything I just talked about, from that same Harvard Business Review article, it's actually called 4 Ways to Spark Creativity When You're Feeling Stressed. Again, I'm going to link it in the show notes. These are some of the things that they have listed. Number one is to design a conducive environment. Basically, what this means is your physical environment, where you are living and eating and sleeping and being creative, you want that to be an environment that is conducive to creativity. It's something that encourages creativity, and it makes you feel comfortable and relaxed and excited to be creative. It inspires you. I have always said my room is my sanctuary, and now that I've moved out of just my room and I have my apartment and like just my living space, your living space really is your sanctuary. And designing a conducive environment, a conducive living space for being creative, for me personally, looks like making sure my space is clean and tidy and not cluttered. Also, I always feel like if my space is cluttered or if things are like out of place or just like it's messy, I have so much anxiety. Like it just makes me feel so unnerved, and I have a harder time relaxing and calming down in that environment because my physical space really affects my mental health, if you will, so much. So for me, a conducive environment would look like one that is tidy and one that is clean, because then I don't have to think about, oh, well, I have to put away X, Y, and Z and clean up X, Y, and Z before I can sit down and be creative. Like, I can just sit down and do it. I don't have any other things in my physical space to worry about. And instead, it is making me feel relaxed. And when I feel relaxed, my brain has more resources that it can allocate towards being creative instead of being stressed about all the things that I need to do. Like, I need to put this away and I need to do this and I need to do this. Like, I have a whole laundry list of shit that I have to do before I can just relax, you know? Like, that's, we want to not have that. And having no, like, less clutter in my space is also a big thing. I sometimes feel like I just have like too much shit, and I will hold on to things even if I don't need to. I don't know. I just like have a weird emotional attachment to things sometimes. But I feel like when I have more stuff that I don't have a purpose for, it negatively affects me mentally, because again, it just makes me feel like I can't really like breathe and relax and settle down in my environment because there's just so much there. Like it's too cluttered. And when my space is cluttered, my mind is cluttered. So in that sense, designing a conducive environment would be decluttering, getting rid of things, kind of severing that emotional attachment I have to things so that I can in turn have a tidier space, a less cluttered space, and I can just have the things that I know that I need and the things that serve a purpose for me. And that really does, like, it might sound silly, but it really does alleviate so much from my mind, and it allows me to just breathe easier. And I know that that's really important for being able to be creative and just facilitating more ideas, because I need to have my brain be in more of a neutral, like chill setting so that my brain power can go towards being creative and not thinking about other things that I need to do. You know, the second thing that the article suggests is to exercise new mental muscles and essentially immerse yourself in new and different activities. They reference a study in this article. It's from the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. And the study revealed that, quote, diversifying your areas of focus can boost cognitive flexibility, which is the core of creative cognitive processing, which allows for more fluid ideation and creativity, end quote. So in layman's terms, do something different. Focus on something different. Spark creativity in a different direction than your core work. So whatever your main thing is that you're doing, spark creativity in a different direction. Look outside of your immediate, like what you're doing every day, and try new things. Look outside of the box. Explore a little bit. Don't just pick the low-hanging fruit and things that you already know and the things that you're already doing and kind of rely on those things to also spark creativity. Sometimes you gotta look past that. You gotta do a little bit more. You gotta try a little bit harder and find new things that aren't maybe things that you've experienced before. Maybe are completely different. You don't know anything about them, but that's where creativity could spark. This also kind of goes back to what I talked about earlier about how a reason that creativity could decline as we get older is because we know more. When you spark creativity in a different direction and you exercise new mental muscles and you go out and search for new things, you're entering a territory where you don't know a lot about it. If knowing more inhibits your creativity, then going into something that you don't know a lot about can spark creativity. It's like if A plus B equals C, then blah, blah, blah. All right. And then the last thing from this article that I wanted to mention is to increase connection. Talk to other people. Brainstorm ideas together. Talking out loud to another person, another creative person, can benefit both of you by sparking new ideas and inspiration, just things you wouldn't have thought about if you hadn't talked to that person, because every person has their own perception of things. Everyone has their own experiences, and everyone has something unique to share. And you just don't know what someone else could share with you that could really inspire you and spark something new within you if you don't talk to them. Just sitting down and talking about something can make you think of new things that you hadn't even thought of before. Maybe you knew them, but you hadn't thought of them in that way until somebody else mentioned something and it just made you think of it. You know what I mean? Increasing connection with other people can increase your own inspiration. Again, from the article, quote, "This approach improves the brain's neurochemical balance by reducing stress hormones and increasing pro-social hormones, helping to reconnect the creativity networks that continued uncertainty may have disrupted," end quote. So literally just talking to people increases your pro-social hormones, helps to reconnect those creativity networks that had been directed towards, again, survival, as I talked about earlier, when your continued uncertainty or your stress or your anxiety may have disrupted those things. Talking to other people, connecting with people, learning from them, having genuine human connection can neurologically help to reconnect your creativity networks in your brain. Another thing that I think could help to counteract the decreasing creativity levels is to give yourself time. Give yourself time to do the tasks that you have to do so you don't feel rushed and inhibit your creativity. Feeling rushed and having a deadline and feeling like you're running out of time and feeling like you have to force being creative instead of just being able to let it come to you really does a number on your creativity levels. I've experienced this so much in my own life, but I've realized that if I give myself more time and I don't feel as rushed, I have more creativity just naturally coming to me because I'm not so stressed about the time ticking down. I have enough time, so I'm not stressed about that, and I have time to explore new ideas. I have time for ideas to come to me. And it's literally every time that I give myself time, I notice that. Also, give yourself time to explore hobbies that you enjoy. It is equally as important, if not more, to give yourself time to explore hobbies or time to relax or just downtime. Obviously, as an adult, you have a lot more responsibilities. You have a job, you have things to do, you have bills to pay, you know, you have way more of a to-do list and it's way more high stakes. But your life can't just be your to-do lists. You have to give yourself time in your day and in your life to explore things that have nothing to do with the financial goal that you have or the career goal that you have. Things that are just for you. And you also have to understand that that's not a waste of time. Exploring hobbies and doing creative things or even just resting is not a waste of time because it is absolutely crucial to your growth as a person and to your ability to keep going. Burnout truly inhibits your ability to get done the things you need to get done and to work through your to-do list and meet all of your responsibilities. But one way to try to counteract getting to burnout is to give yourself time to explore hobbies. Give yourself time to be creative. Give yourself time to do things that aren't for your productive goals. And kind of going along with that, give yourself time to explore new things and hobbies. It can take longer to find new things and new hobbies. So that's why I know, at least for me, this is something that I often just don't do because I know that this takes longer to go and out and find, because it's not something that I immediately have like within close reach. It's not a low-hanging fruit. It's something that requires more brain power, more exploration, more time. And sometimes I just tell myself like I don't have that time, or sometimes I really don't have that time, which is why it's so important to give yourself that time. I just talked about one of the ways to counteract declining creativity levels is to spark creativity in a different direction. That's what I'm talking about here. In order to do that, sometimes you have to give yourself the time to do that. You have to be intentional with it. I think that's another thing. Like, when I was younger, I didn't have to be intentional with my creativity. I just was creative. I didn't have to try to be imaginative. I just had a big imagination. But as I've gotten older, it hasn't been as easy. And now I have to make a conscious effort to kind of give myself the okay and the time to do those things. And I think that I've been stuck on the fact that, oh, I shouldn't have to be intentional. Like, it should just come to me. And the fact that it's not just coming to me means there's something wrong with me and I'm just not creative anymore. But that's not the case. Sometimes we just do have to do these things. We have to try harder and we have to be more intentional sometimes, and that's okay. As you get older, as you go through more things, as you move into a new phase of life, you have to shift things. Not everything is going to work the exact same way that it used to. Just because something isn't coming to you as easily as it used to doesn't mean you can't do it at all. And that's something that I need to get through my own head, because circumstances have changed, so my approach also has to change. I can't expect myself to be able to do the same things as I used to be able to do when I'm in a completely different set of circumstances and I'm like 20 years older. I just can't. It's not realistic and it's not fair to myself. I know that my creativity, it's not gone. It's still there. It just may take a bit more nurturing now. And it may take me being more intentional with my time, with my priorities. And that is natural. And that's okay, because that's just life. Like, when, as you move through life, you have to shift and you have to do things differently as the circumstances become different. My creativity is not lost and it's not dead. I can revive it. It can be revived. It's just, it has to be a choice. And I'm going to choose to revive it, because my creativity is one of my favorite things about myself. And I can't let go of that. That's it from me today. Thank you for bearing with me as I've been, I don't even know how I've sounded in this, but I've had to stop about 5,000 times to like clear my throat. So I'm sure I've fixed all of that in editing by the time that you are hearing this. So I'm sure it didn't even actually affect you at all. I don't know why I'm apologizing. But yeah, so that's it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed. I loved this topic so much. Yeah, I hope you did too. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Digital Diary with Hannah Elise. I hope you'll have an amazing rest of your day, an amazing rest of your week, and I will be back next week with a brand new episode. Bye.